Welcome to week 14 of All In With The Saints with myself, Jake Seeley, and Bobby McMahon. As always, if you want to tweet us, follow me at All In Kid, follow Bobby at Hello on Bobby, and we will help you hopefully take home a championship, assuming you're listening right now that you are in the playoffs, or maybe your playoffs don't start till week 15 and it's 2 weeks only. Either way, you're listening for a good reason, very likely. And for a good reason, we're going to get to why your bench matters completely different than it did for the rest of the year right now. But how are you looking, Bobby? Are we 100% playoff for you?
No. Missed playoffs in one league that I would have a financial stake in. But otherwise, it looks like I'm going to be in. I have one that starts not until week 15, so I won't officially know, but it's looking pretty good right now. So I feel all right heading into the playoffs. What about you?
Yeah, at 14, I thought I made all but one. And then the one was the Flex League where I implemented the rule, which I think most everybody should play by anyway, is the sixth seed goes to most points scored despite record for some of this.
I like that, yeah.
So you kind of get rid of the obvious luck factor there. And right. That was my position. Actually, headed into last week, I had the second most points scored overall. The second place team had the most. So either way, I was sitting pretty. And yeah. I was – there was 5, 6, and 6 teams. So I win, I was in. I lost and scored a decent amount of points, I was still in. So I played a guy who was 4-8. And he happened to beat me, which knocked me out of the record. And then he happened to outscore me by 20 points and didn't realize this, but he barely overtook me in points as well.
Wow.
So, yep, he knocked me out two ways. He knocked me out because of my record and knocked me out because he ended up being the second highest point scorer. So he got in as the sixth seed at a good old 5-8. As much as it could happen, obviously he ran into a lot of bad luck, but that's why we had the rule. It just stinks because I got doubly knocked out by one person.
Yeah, exactly. That's tough. That's really tough, but great for him and great rule. So I think the rule worked.
Yeah, I think it does as well. I'm in another league, my home league, to just let you know some of these things that can happen to some of you. And we all understand the pain is in my home league. I ended up having somebody come back on me. I had Forte and a nice lead over T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton then come huge game. Beat me by 0.3. Because he beat me by 0.3, that person got in, and then the two teams that would have been tied at the bottom for 5th and 6th were both 6th and 7th. The one team had the most points in our league, period, so he was in no matter what. But it didn't matter because the second point scorer was the 6th team, so he would have been in because the guy would already been in on his record. But because I lost by 3, another person jumped him in record. So he didn't even have anything to do with it. He got knocked out because I lost by 0.3.
That's brutal.
Yeah. So, and people are still waiting on the Lamar Miller situation, which is just going to be brutal if you find out today or tomorrow that Lamar Miller stat. You've heard about this, right?
Yes.
So, he gets the yard. I looked up the rule on NFL.com, and just for everybody that's wondering out there, so when you have all these plays with the laterals and throwbacks at the end of the games, so every player gets their own yardage. The only thing that's different is if it's a quarterback pass that starts it, he only gets the total yardage at the end of the play. So if the play only goes 30 yards, even if it went past 30 yards and came back, and whatever the final number is, that's what the quarterback gets. The only person that gets a reception is the very first player. Everybody else just gets their own yards, even if you lost them. So Lamar Miller lost, what was it, 11 yards, right, Bobby?
Yep, I think something like that.
Which would have been to him, correctly scored as of now on most sites. Some people were wondering if he was going to get that back because he wasn't the final person that touched the ball. But no, that they got it right. He would have lost the 11 yards. Now, because there was an offensive penalty, the entire play might be wiped out.
Yeah, what a mess.
He might get the yards back because the play never happened.
So that would be crazy if he does, because that's a one-point swing.
Yep.
Or a two-point swing, really, right?
Well, 1.1, because it was 11 yards. Well, then right. Also, no, because he got the 7 yards, so that would offset. That doesn't matter at all anyway, because now the plays doesn't even exist. So
right. Yes. Oh, right, right.
So whatever the lost yardage he got for your league on that play, he would get it back and possibly knock you out 72 hours later. And I only know this because somebody we work with is in a battle right now, and he's up by 0.6, and he's going to end up losing by half point if this goes that way. But we're going to try and get you through the playoffs, and hopefully none of this madness happens to you. Bobby, the most important part right now, and I keep telling everybody this, I'm sure you say the same, I did this in both my waiver column and my rankings column this week just to drive home the point. Your bench means nothing of what it meant before this point. Before this point, when you're saying, hey, I might need somebody for the bye, I need a wide receiver six, hey, this guy has a little bit of upside, I'm going to play the matchup with him, I'm going to bench one. That's out the window. Your bench should be comprised of three things. Your handcuffs, if you have anybody, like your Derrick Henry needs to be a backup to DeMarco Murray, Alfred Morris, all these handcuffs. And I'm going as far as every handcuff that has a clear path. And I'm not talking about some of the teams where, like Seattle, we're not. It looked like it was going to be Alex Collins, but then an inactive, and he didn't get any touches, and they were using Tremaine Pope. So we don't really know. And it looks like it would be a split situation anyway. But if you're talking about teams where the running back has a backup that doesn't look that enticing, like Damian Williams for the Dolphins, but if J.J. got hurt, Damian Williams would see the vast majority of the workload. You still need to own that handcuff of your J.J. You can't come into week 15, lose J.J., and then scramble to the waiver wire and watch somebody else beat you to him. So that's the first. Second is you need a backup quarterback just in case yours goes down, and a backup tight end as well. And then if you play in streaming defenses, obviously if you have the Vikings, you don't need one. But if you're playing streaming defenses, look ahead to week 15 and 16 for somebody with a great matchup so you're not chasing the same thing everybody else is.
Absolutely, yeah. This is it's all about strategy on the bench right now, especially with the defenses. You could look at the San Diego Chargers, who I believe play the Cleveland Browns next week. So they're a definite team that you want to look at. You're definitely looking ahead as far as defenses go is going to be huge, and getting the handcuff situation so important. I mean, I would go as far as if I'm a Devontae Booker owner and I have the space, I'm even taking a speculative shot on someone like Justin Forsett.
Oh, exactly. He's another one. He was in the waiver wire column. I included him as well. Actually, let me pull that up. Normally I have that tab, but because waivers aren't as a big a deal this week as I just encompassed, I did not have that up ready to go. So yes, the ones that I mentioned, Kenneth Dixon, because as much as he's actually like Kenneth Dixon and Charles Sims are both on this list, even though they're somebody who sees a little bit of a timeshare. So you could technically have to start them if you're in a deep league or you went wide receiver heavy. Still, if the person in front of him went down, their volume would go through the roof, obviously. So the names that I had were Kenneth Dixon, Derrick Henry, Mike Gillisley, D'Angelo Williams. It looks like he's about to come back. Maybe, maybe not, but we all know his value when he's out there and no Le'Veon Bell. He's a top five running back. Charles Sims, Shane Vereen, Justin Forsett, and then I listed as more handcuffs were the Alfred Morris, Jeremy Langford, Andre Ellington, Dwan Harris, Damian Williams, Cameron Artis Payne, Zach Zenner, Chris Thompson, and Kenneth Farrow. Those are all the ones. Did I miss any? Was there anybody in there that to you seems like the person who would step up and take the majority of the workload?
Only other guy, I think all those ones you kind of are covered on. What about Rex Burkhead at Cincinnati? I mean, is we've actually seen him get some decent work lately.
Yeah, see, I thought about him, but I'm not sure that he sees the bulk of the work, even if Jeremy Hill goes down. I think he would remain in his role because who's the one that they just activated? Now I'm having a good time to have a brain fart while you're in the middle of doing the show. The one that they just activated, he didn't actually even get any touches. You not think of it either?
I'm lost on it.
Yeah,
no.
I'm trying to pull it up right now. He's been on the team before, and that's why it's frustrating me, because I can picture the guy actually in my mind. I'm looking at him. I just – he's like, hey, turn around in my mind so I can see your jersey. Cedric Pierman. That's who.
Okay, yep.
So I think that they would still split. You know what? I would probably put Burkhead in that conversation, but he would probably be last, even behind Farrow, because I think that Farrow would see the majority of the work if Gordon went down. So – he's kind of down there. I would say that's a good one. I would put Burkhead kind of down there by like Zach Zenner. And
yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, like Dewan Harris, where probably the lead, but probably not as heavy as the rest of them. And to throw this one out there as your opinion, I'm not, unless I just have it, like if you're in a league where everybody's smart, everybody has their handcuffs, all these guys are gone, you have a spot that you're just not using, then I'll pick up Adrian Peterson. But I don't know that, one, we even see him this year, and two, what Adrian Peterson do we see? Because Adrian Peterson wasn't that good before he got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just you could be literally burning a roster spot at this point.
And that's what I told people is you got to drop AJ Green at this point. He himself said he hopes he can get back for week 17. Whoa. Like that was, you know, a lot of people out there are like, yeah, maybe he can be week 15. Maybe he can be back for your championship game. But when he came out and said he hopes to return before the last game of the season, That's week 17. That doesn't matter for fantasy purposes, or it shouldn't. We discussed that last week. You should not be playing week 17. But even if it does, you know, what can you expect at this point? And does Cincinnati have anything to push them back for? Because they're out of, you know, they're not playing for playoffs. There's no reason to risk AJ Green injuring himself right before they head into the offseason.
Exactly. No, I know. I just don't see a scenario where he's going to play meaningful full snaps for your playoffs and have a huge impact for you.
I completely agree. So moving over to wide receiver, there's only one name that I'm saying go pick up off waiver wires. You know, there's a lot out there. You know, Corey Coleman in a deeper league, Tyler Lockett now that he's getting the snaps, a ton of upside with him. Dontrell Inman obviously has still been ahead of Travis Benjamin, although any given game is very up and down with him. Brandon LaFell, good red zone target. And Taylor Gabriel with Mohamed Sanu hurt. You know, all those are nice options, but those are what I was saying at the top. Those are more of your wide receiver sixes, as you would play a matchup. Or basically, are they ever going to enter your starting lineup? If not, then don't worry about it. Maybe if you have a free spot and you want to block somebody who needs wide receiver help, maybe okay. But the only name I'm worried about right now, and the one that I am going aggressively after if you can, and I would even play him ahead of Allen Robinson the rest of the way, is Malcolm Mitchell. And that's because last week when we talked about him, the concern was 92% of the snaps for Chris Hogan, 37% of Malcolm Mitchell. Last week, guess what? 80% plus for both of them. He was actually one snap behind Chris Hogan. They were both ahead of Julian Edelman. I know Julian Edelman got banged up in that game. But at the same time, all I needed was that 80% number, and I'm on board with Malcolm Mitchell because it's the Tom Brady offense. The Tom Brady offense is going to pass for touchdowns, and Malcolm Mitchell catches plenty of touchdowns because he can get behind the defense. I think his value, as I said, tell me if I'm crazy. I'm starting from here on out, week by week, because Jacksonville's got a terrible schedule. Malcolm Mitchell would be in my lineup instead of Allen Robinson.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think with Robinson's brutal schedule coming up, it definitely looks like Malcolm Mitchell is a guy who you start as a wide receiver three moving forward, and you're pretty happy about that.
I think so as well. Any of those other ones, the Coleman, Lockett, Inman, LaFell, Gabriel, any of those intrigue you a little bit? Like I said, if you're in a 12-deep league or a 14-team league where you would say, yeah, you know what, he might be able to sneak into my lineup.
Yeah, I think Lockett's a guy I want on my bench because of upside. And I wouldn't feel terrible about if I had to, you know, I have an injury or something and I have to plug him in. So he's a guy I wouldn't mind having. Inman, his role for the next week or so, I think, is okay. He's obviously Travis Benjamin, still not 100%. Tyrell Williams also dealing with the torn labrum in his shoulder. So it's a decent spot for Inman too. Like you're saying, I don't think you're excited to throw any of them in your lineup, but again, I want a guy on my bench that if I have an injury or a tough matchup like Allen Robinson has or something like that, where I need a guy in a pinch, it's a guy with high upside like Lockett, or a guy who I consider a safe guy to at least be involved, and that's Inman.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. It's similar to the situation with Mitchell is the fact that a lot of people were on Lockett at the beginning of the season. I know you and I talked about it, and the argument against him and the one we were making is the fact that, you know what, he's the third wide receiver. He's just not on the field enough. But the way that I started using him lately is definitely something that you can look for that upside, especially starts getting usage as the number two on that team. He is somebody similar to Mitchell. It's just that hasn't been shown yet to the degree of Mitchell. It's getting there, but not quite. So I'm with you on that one. At tight end, we keep talking about C.J. Fedorowicz. He's the steady presence. At this point, we're done. If you want to pick up C.J. Fedorowicz, you should have done it. If you didn't by now, you probably just don't want to, and that's fine. I would, but we're done talking about C.J. Fedorowicz. So the other two is if Jordan Reed is out this week, I would pick up Vernon Davis to spot start for you if you need the tight end help. I did not like him last week. It was a mediocre game, and he actually didn't even get his yards till late in the game where it was just grind out the clock situation because Arizona just completely shuts down tight ends. But the one at the top of the list, somebody else who had a concern because of snap count, great matchup last week, and I'm not worried too much about matchups going forward, is Ladarius Green. Here's the interesting part, Bobby, is we saw what he did against the Giants, and it's part of the reason I like Jason Witten this week is because all tight ends do well against the Giants. But Ladarius Green still hasn't hit 50% of the snaps when he's been on the field. It was only 48% last week, but here's the really intriguing part of it. When he's on the field, 90% of the time, he's running a passing route.
Oh, yeah. Yep, he's going to be involved, and he's going to get – he got targeted 11 times against the Giants last week, had a monster stat line. Good to see them using him. He's basically outside of Bell and Brown. I think he's their third option in the receiving game right now.
I think so as well. And if you look at the history, and yes, it was a very long time of Heath Miller, but even when Heath Miller was out, Ben Roethlisberger likes to go to his tight ends and likes to go to him in the red zone.
Absolutely, and I think Green's a top 10 tight end from here on out.
I think so as well. So a lot of people aren't necessarily on the same page because they're still worried about that snap count, but I think just listen to us. We're both on board. Make sure you are too. And I think he's still floating out there. Just for example, on Yahoo, he's under 25% owned before the waivers this week, and on NFL.com, he's under 10% owned. So make sure you go get Ladarius Green. Here's one for you. This is what I was telling people. People are saying, like, should I drop blank or blank? And that's always the example. So I would drop Witten. I'll list off some names. You tell me if you disagree with any of them. Drop Witten for him.
Yep, I'm good.
Eric Ebron.
That one I'm back and forth, but I think I would do it, yeah.
Antonio Gates.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Zach Ertz.
Ertz and Ebron have similar upside to Green, but I like the way Green's playing right now.
All right, we're gonna tick it up a little bit here now. How about Kyle Rudolph?
Oof, I mean if I'm in a PPR format, I make that move because Rudolph's so touchdown reliant.
All right, and here's the kicker. Here's the last one. This is the one that I said, and people of course came after me. Oh, you're crazy, Martellus Bennett.
The only reason I would do that is because I don't think Martellus Bennett's healthy. I think he's bothered by that ankle. They're clearly not going to him right now because of it.
Well, and on top of that, and it's something I've mentioned before, is the thing is Martellus Bennett is better when Gronkowski's on the field. And the problem is people are just like, oh, well, you know, Gronkowski. There's a reason behind it. It's not just the fact that Gronkowski absorbs some of the defense and all that. The fact is Martellus Bennett is an exceptional blocking tight end, as you well know, Bobby. That's kind of his downfall, is because he's such a good blocking tight end, and the Patriots need some blocking help because their offensive line is still – it's been getting better this year, but it still needs help in and of its own. When Gronk was out there, Gronk is a very good blocker. People don't realize as well. He's not to Bennett's level, but they didn't need Bennett to be a blocker as much. They could, you know, switch him around or use one and let the other one sit back. So they keep going back and forth, and he had more opportunities, and that's why he was better with Gronk on the field. Now they ask him to block half the time or more, and now they're going to three wide. He's going to be blocking a heck of a lot more, and as you mentioned, if he's not 100%, they'll probably just limit his upside even higher. So I just think that all those factors grabbed in together is part of the reason why, yes, I'm dropping Bennett for – actually, you know what? To go back to somebody else, I'd drop Bennett for Ebron, honestly.
Yeah, no, I think I'd make that move. Like I said, I don't really want to – I like the situation on the surface for Bennett, but once you drill down, you talk about the blocking, like you pointed out, you talk about the success that Malcolm Mitchell is having right now, even Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman's having, obviously the receiving running backs that they have there. I mean, he might score a touchdown or two and be, you know, featured in the red zone occasionally, because that's still, you know, a route he can run, even on a bum ankle and use his body. But yeah, you need players that are hot right now. And Ladarius Green is one of those guys who's trending way up.
Yeah, I think so as well. So looking forward for this week, any last little tips that you have that maybe I didn't cover that you want to suggest for people in the playoffs?
Don't overthink your matchups too much. Obviously we have enough data at this point to know, that there are some tough matchups. We talked about Allen Robinson. It's going to be really tough sledding for the Tennessee Titans, passing offense, you know, specifically Rishard Matthews, and any of those guys, but you know, don't overthink the matchup too much and try and get cute with it and play some sleeper that you think might have a chance at a pretty good game, when you've got a guy that that's been pretty good for you all season long.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest mistake people make too, is they start looking at these matchups, and you know, I've already got questions about should I bench blank for this person. Like, trust the people that got you here. You know, there's a reason you're in the playoffs, is because these people perform, and you're not going to go out there and say, oh no, you know, Lamar Miller or LeGarrette Blount is facing the Ravens, and I'm going to bench LeGarrette Blount for, I don't know, Mike Gillisley because he scored two touchdowns last week.
Exactly. And that's the point, is just, you know, play the guys that got you there. I mean, there's going to be some exceptions, of course. We talked about Allen Robinson, tough to play him. just with the way the Jags are looking and the matchups for him, especially this weekend. But yeah, for the most part, you're going to play the guys that have brought you there.
Yeah, and to be clear, to bring up the Allen Robinson point, and yeah, you mentioned it too, is you can bench him, but he's still wide receiver, like for me, he's wide receiver 37 in the rankings. So
good shot for a touchdown.
Yeah, you know, and don't drop him. Don't let somebody else potentially have Allen Robinson put up 20 points against you because he goes off one game. But he's benchable in the range of, you're to talk about Stephon Diggs, Mike Wallace, Tyreek Hill kind of names, if you want to start those guys over him. But we're not saying bench Allen Robinson for, you know, Taylor Gabriel and Jeremy Maclin coming back from an injury, or Robbie Anderson after last week. You know, we're not going that far.
No, exactly. And the way I look at, even I had to start Allen Robinson in one league last week against the Broncos, and not a great matchup, and he didn't perform that well. But Allen Robinson, there's maybe a couple handfuls of guys who have the red zone ability that he does in the NFL. And so, I mean, all he needs is a touchdown this weekend, and that makes him a worthwhile start.
Yeah, a touchdown pretty much locks you into, I don't know, what, top 25 wide receiver position. So it's not quite the level of what tight ends are, like we always talk about, but you're basically, you're starting. You want that person in your lineup if you get a touchdown. 6 free points. This is all it works out to be. So, yeah, moving into looking at this week for matchup purposes-wise, you've kind of been talking about, well, this is exactly what we're talking about situations, but we're talking about a lot to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. Looking at the Saints, because let's hit on that for this week. Obviously, we expect a better performance from everybody. You know, it's kind of surprising that the numbers weren't as high as we expected going into the last week, with the fact there's a home game. But this week on the road, it's a decent matchup against Tampa Bay, who's been susceptible to the quarterback, to the run, basically most of the positions. Is there anybody, like, all right, Mark Ingram, we know he has the toe concern, but at the same time, he did still play more than Tim Hightower last week. Is he the only person you're considering might have a decision on your hands, because we're still starting Breeze, Cooks, Thomas, and Snead, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and I'm still starting Ingram. I think I would have to, some really quality depth or running back with a really good matchup. That's kind of like a second tier running back that I would need to start ahead of him. But if I had my wishes, it would be Ingram in my lineup, because I still think there's always potential there for him in the red zone. And you know, even with the toe issue, I think he'll be able to play through it and you know, still get double-digit touches.
I think so as well. So for the wrap-up that I wrote on NewOrleansScience.com, basically said, I'm expecting 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, even though it's on the road for Drew Brees, because we've mentioned it time and again, Drew Brees on the road is still extremely good, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers – hasn't been able to, like, they really haven't been stopping a lot of teams. And to go back, even so, the tight end position, if you are deep in a deep league, and I know Kobe Fleener's been somewhat inconsistent, but I'm looking at it right now, I'm going to go to it because this is what I brought up in the column, is the fact that the Buccaneers over the last 4 games have been giving up a lot more to tight ends of recently. I can't find it exactly, but I mentioned, if you want to look at it, hey, go to NewOrleansSaints.com, and the fantasy preview is up there. But I just talked about the fact that basically all aspects of the Buccaneers defense are exploitable.
Exactly. Yeah, I think this is a good matchup all around for the Saints offense. You know, and Tampa Bay's offense, with obviously Mike Evans, can move the ball. So I think there's a good opportunity for a back and forth type of game here that we could see a lot of fantasy points generated from the Saints.
And on the other side of the ball for Tampa Bay in this one, the Charles Sims is likely returning this week. Do you think that he is going to return to his role as the backup, or because Jaquizz Rodgers looked so good earlier this year that this might be a complete committee situation? Obviously, Doug Martin is going to be the lead option, but this is more the concern of Doug Martin got bent back last week and kind of got a little tweak. He came out of the game, said it was just he didn't go back in because it was towards the end of the game, there's no point. But at the same time, Doug Martin does have a history of having some injuries here. So if he were to go down, do you think it would be Charles Sims like last year, or do you think that we're kind of looking more of a timeshare no matter what?
Yeah, I think we'd probably be looking at a timeshare with Rodgers in there as well, maybe even Peyton Barber mixing in a little bit. But yeah, with Sims back, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how assuming Martin is healthy, be interesting to see how much Sims was involved, because it was basically like a 60-40 split for the most part between Martin and Sims earlier in the season before Sims got hurt. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that work is divvied up, because Jaquiz played so well and he's now back too. So,
yeah, I think so as well. Thursday night, by the way, if you're listening to this before then, if not afterwards, then, well, you just know what happened. But Oakland at Kansas City. Let me ask you this, Bobby. When you go into these type of situations, how much do you put into statistics? Because here's the question here. Derek Carr has traditionally, throughout his career so far, it's not a long career, but to this point, has not played well against Kansas City. It's in Kansas City. The third number to this is his three games and temperatures under 40 degrees have been dreadful, like 200 yards, one touchdown, interception, and that's basically his average in those three games. So do you take all that into account and say, all right, Derek Carr, probably going to struggle, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, I'm going to tick them down a bit in my rankings, or do you say, you know what, Derek Carr has been a different quarterback this year, I'm not going to move him too much?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think I drop him a little bit, kind of more the latter. I definitely take it into account, especially playing at Kansas City. Tough place to play, obviously, and he hasn't done well typically against them. But he has also matured as a player, I think, and I also think that offense is running pretty efficiently right now, and the run game, for the most part, is working with Latavius and company. So I still think he's I don't necessarily think he's locked in as a QB1 this week. I think there are definitely better options that you might have on your bench. But if I needed to start him and my backup is, I'm trying to think of a good person. Say it's between Colin Kaepernick and him, I might be too scared of starting Colin Kaepernick after last week's dud, even though I think he's a good start.
Let me ask you this then. All right. So two things. So I'm going to rattle off the numbers just in case people are wondering for the easy part. So his last five games for his entire career of games against Kansas City. So basically what he has 174, one touchdown. He had 222 and one touchdown. Then last year he had, 283 with two touchdowns and three picks, 194, one touchdown, one interception. Earlier this year, 225, one touchdown, one interception. So you can see, not very good. So the next,
not pretty.
Yeah. I will take it further because you're trying to think of people for a comparison. So, all right, I'm going to throw out three names. You tell me if you're starting Derek Carr over any of them. So we mentioned Colin Kaepernick, but Marcus Mariota with the way that he's been playing coming off the bye but home against Denver, Eli Manning against Dallas, or Andy Dalton at Cleveland. Are you starting all three of those or none of those threes, or where does Derek Carr slide in there for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right there with all of them. That one's tough because Eli, I think I'm definitely starting Eli ahead of him. I think Mariota it's tough just because that defense is so good.
I think he's
going to
surprise some people this week.
But yeah, I could see a low yardage total. A classic Mariota line would be like 170 yards passing, but he somehow scores three touchdowns. And that's going to be a good. Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be a good fantasy day. So, I mean, I think with the way he's playing, he's not a QB1, but he's right on the cusp. So I think I'd take him. So the only one I'd maybe consider, I think, would be Andy Dalton has just been so vanilla. He doesn't have AJ Green. What's that?
It is Cleveland, though.
Oh, I know. It's obviously the matchup is nice, but I think I'd take Carr over him.
Okay, fair enough. I have Andy Dalton 17, Derek Carr 18.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, they're all in that QB2 range, I think, and QB2 range is kind of bunched up right now.
I actually have Colin Kaepernick at 12.
Yeah, like I said, I was excited about the matchup. If you asked me about it before last week's game, I would have told you he's the top 10 start this week. But after last week, I was just scratching my head.
Yeah, the only reason I don't have him higher is just a slight threat if he doesn't make it through the game. But he doesn't have to worry about weather anymore. He's home in San Francisco, at Atlanta in a dome, and at Los Angeles. So no more snow. You definitely don't have to worry about that. You just have to worry about Chip Kelly saying, you know what? You're out of the game again. So,
exactly.
Let's see. Anything from these games to kind of go through a bullet point quickly here for you. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. I think what we take out of this game is Ben Roethlisberger is on the road. And this is a true thing of how much – to go back to it, people like to talk about Drew Brees' home road splits. They're nowhere near what Ben Roethlisberger's are. The last 3 years, the guy's averaging like 360 yards and three touchdowns on the road. At home, it's like 220 and a touchdown .2. It's just – drastically different when he's on the road. But at Buffalo, do you think we just see regular good old Ben Roethlisberger? Or do you think this road situation has legitimacy to it, and maybe you don't want to start him?
No, I think it's I certainly think it's legit, but
that's a pretty big sample, 3 years.
Yeah, no, exactly. I do pay attention to it, but I mean, Big Ben, he's got to be in that conversation with those guys. I mean, he's got to be right in the QB1 range, but it's probably the back end of it. You know, he's probably not in my top 10, but he would have to be 11 or 12 or something, you know, right in that range.
Kaepernick or Ben, Big Ben this week?
Kaepernick is so tough this week. I'm actually going to say Big Ben.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's close, though, right?
It's very close. I love the Kaepernick matchup, but I don't know. I have questions.
Big Ben or Eli or Dak?
Big Ben, Eli, Dak. It's at New York. I'm still
– see? They make these
fun. I'll play Dak. I feel like Dak has a high floor. Of those three, I play Dak, Big Ben, then Eli.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Let's talk about Denver at Tennessee. Actually, we kind of talked about the biggest nugget from – you know what? No, we didn't, because the other side of the ball too. Paxton Lynch is at quarterback. When we look at this, the Tennessee Titans not only are second on the season in fantasy points allowed, but over the last three games, they're number one by far. So the last three games – I mean, it's not even close. I'm going to pull this back up because it's the last 4 weeks. You can actually do the same thing on NFL.com. and look at the last 4 weeks. So the last 4 weeks, because only three games for them because they had a bye, 37.37 fantasy points per game allowed to wide receivers. The next closest is 30.6. They're almost 7 points more per game. They gave up 772 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns in 3 games. So do we got to keep Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders in our lineups, even with Lynch at quarterback, right?
We do, yeah. Even if Lynch stays in, which it sounds like he's probably going to, I think you have to do it. Even if he's going to struggle a little bit, you know he's going to be force feeding Thomas and Sanders the ball. And it's a much – I mean, the Jaguars' secondary is good. So it's not the Jaguars of, like, the last few years where it's like, oh, you start everyone against the Jaguars because it's an easy team to just dominate through. No, they have a legitimate – pass defense. That was not an easy matchup for Paxton Lynch to be making his second career start at.
Yeah, I think so as well. So moving down the list of other games here, Washington at Philadelphia. We talked about the situation with the quarterback, or not the quarterback, the tight end, with potentially no Jordan Reed on Philly's side of it. Jordan Matthews is expected to play. If so, is Jordan Matthews as much as if he's playing, you put him in your lineup?
Yeah, if he's healthy enough to go, he's in there because he's clearly the number one there and really been playing like a wide receiver too for the most part.
Yeah, I think so as well. It's hard to bench somebody with that kind of volume, and he's the number one on the offense to see that every single week. So let's see. Arizona at Miami. Carson Palmer had a really nice game last week. But is it just Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson? Can we get back on with Michael Floyd now, or is it just still too risky?
No, it's too risky at this time of year for me. I'm going to stay safe. I mean, Larry Fitz, he's wide receiver 3 level, and then obviously David Johnson, God level.
On Miami side of the ball, Devontae Parker played through an injury last week, did very well, which is a little bit surprising to everybody that Sunday morning rolled around and he was going to be active. Is Devontae Parker somebody that's in the wide receiver 3 conversation as somebody to go ahead and play?
Absolutely, yeah, he definitely is for me. I mean, what he's been doing over the past month or so has been very impressive. He's really starting to emerge there, and they're not a high volume. I mean, they were last week because they got down so much, but they're typically haven't been a high volume passing attack, and he's still out there making plays, making the most of his targets.
All right, so San Diego, Carolina, all right, is Cam Newton? He's obviously no longer just a must start. Is he somebody that, you know what, if you have Phillip Rivers and Colin Kaepernick, you can drop Cam Newton? Did I just ask that question?
Yeah, kind of crazy, but he's just not. I mean, he's just not playing. It's not coming together for the Panthers this year, and that's you know, obviously saying the least of the struggles over there. But yeah, he's definitely not a must start. That's for sure. I don't know if I'd necessarily drop him because he still has. I mean, we still know he can be that type of player that we've seen last year and years before. So I don't know if I necessarily want him to be on another roster, but yeah, I wouldn't want to play him. I wouldn't be excited about playing him. I mean, I still again, he's still in that range. I'd play him over probably Big Ben, but he's right there in that conversation with those guys.
All right, and then let's go down to Cincinnati at Cleveland. Kind of talked about Andy Dalton for this matchup. I mean, obviously, let's go to just Cincinnati side of the ball. Who do you trust more, Brandon LaFell or Tyler Boyd?
I trust Boyd. I think he's got the floor. He's, to me, the more talented player. I think LaFell is your TD guy, and that's kind of where he's going to get some of his value from with AJ Green out. But you're counting on that TD. I think the safer play is Boyd for me.
All right, let's go to Chicago at Detroit. Marquise Wilson got banged up. Hurt a lot of people last week because a lot of people were starting him, unfortunately. But on – wow, this is kind of just – we know what to do with this. Jordan Howard, you're starting him. Detroit Lions, Theo Riddick, Golden Tate, and Matthew Stafford's been terrific. Actually, you know what the bigger question here is? If Marvin Jones is healthy enough to play, do we even plug him back in our lineup? Or at this point, is he just droppable?
Yeah, I mean, he's still a guy, I think the talent is still there, but now with the injury, it's tough. So I don't think you get him necessarily back in your lineup for this matchup, but I certainly, I'm not going to drop him if he's active and healthy, and looks as if he's going to play. I think he was close to playing last week, it sounded like, but then he obviously was inactive. So yeah, I don't want to outright drop him yet, but certainly not great from considering what we saw over the first month when we thought we had a, you know, a wide receiver one on our hands.
Yeah, and then Houston at Indianapolis. Houston might be without Jonathan Joseph, but did we feel good about Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, and Dante Moncrief anyway, or was this maybe a game that was going to be more Frank Gore and now no Jonathan Joseph means you feel better about those guys?
Yeah, I think you get a little uptick. You feel a little bit better about obviously Moncrief's just become, you know, a touchdown machine with
the new Eric Decker, as I said.
I think that's a good one. You know, maybe he's only going to give you 60 yards, but he's going to give you a touchdown almost every time out. And T.Y. gets the yardage.
Yep, he's Eric Decker. All he does is catch touchdowns and get you 60, 70 yards a game. Maybe every once in a blue moon he would get you 100 in a touchdown, but that's what he is. He's the new Eric Decker. Minnesota at Jacksonville. This is a tough matchup for Stephon Diggs here. That are we saying he's at that point, though? We'll say more, obviously, for a PPR league, but you got to roll with Stephon Diggs despite the matchup, or is this maybe, you know what, this is another sneaky Adam Thielen game? Do we do anything with Jerick McKinnon, or is it just the Minnesota offense, there's a lot of potential there, but it's a lot of risky potential?
Yeah, there's a lot of risky potential, and this time of year, I'm not willing to hang my fantasy hopes on Jerick McKinnon unless I really need to. But Diggs, I will because of the target share. I mean, that's what it comes down to for me, especially in a PPR league, like you're saying, the amount of targets he's gotten, you know, since the coordinator change has been just massive.
I think so as well. And then on the other side of the ball, we keep talking about it, but I do want to bring it up. The second wide receiver. Actually, let me put it this way. Is the receiver you trust the most for the Jaguars Marquise Lee?
I mean, I don't know if trust most is I'm going to say no. I still trust Allen Robinson more.
Okay.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, he's just been more consistent, but the upside obviously is not as high as Allen Robinson, but that's just the point of what we're living at this now. New York at San Francisco. Bryce Petty is the quarterback for the Jets the rest of the way. We talked about Colin Kaepernick, but let's talk about Bryce Petty and the Jets situation, because I said his name earlier, but when Bryce Petty came into the game, he threw 25 passes. Do you want to guess the share between Anunua, Brandon Marshall, and Robbie Anderson? Actually, I'm not going to say do you want to. Just go ahead and guess.
I'm going to guess that Anderson had the most of that share. I would venture to guess. Let's just – if there's 100% between those three, I'll say he had 40 and the other two had 30 each.
How many – they're each? Okay. So you were close on the 40. He had 11 of the 25 targets.
Wow. Yeah.
Brandon Marshall had 5.
Wah-wah.
Quincy Anunua, 0.
Oh, man.
Did not go to Anunua once. Brandon Marshall, 5 times. Obviously, the 5 times are still enough, especially against San Francisco, that you've got to play Brandon Marshall. But 11 out of the 25, this is super reactionary. But we've seen this before where the backup quarterbacks have a rapport with somebody who doesn't normally see a lot of time on the field. Robbie Anderson, 14 teamer plus only, desperation play only, but just somebody that if you want to, similar to the Tyler Lockett situation, do you want to put him on his bench just in case this turns out to be, hey, Marquise Wilson with the fact that Matt Barkley a quarterback?
Yeah, you do. I think you want him on your bench. I think that's a good point. He's not a guy I'm going to get cute with and put in my lineup. I'm certainly benching a Nunwa at this point, but like you're saying, I'm going to play Brandon Marshall and I'm adding Robbie Anderson in a deep league.
I think he's just an intriguing. You know what? He's not somebody I'd definitely put in my lineup at any time soon, but before you know it, he could be one of those game changers where you're like, man, Robbie Anderson just won somebody a fantasy football championship. Like, would that surprise you if somebody had that and said that to you?
I mean, based on last week, no.
Okay, let me throw this out there real quickly. Yeah, would you drop Alex Collins for him if you don't own Thomas Rawls?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you drop Jeremy Langford if you do own Jordan Howard?
No.
Okay, so that's kind of like the range. It's like what if you do own Thomas Rawls and you have Alex Collins?
Still dropping him.
Okay, because it's not clear, right? It's like
exactly.
Yeah, Jermaine Pope got the work last week. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Going further down here with a few minutes left to go. Atlanta at Los Angeles. We mentioned the fact that Mohamed Sanu is banged up, might not play. That does help Taylor Gabriel because Taylor Gabriel's biggest concern was only being on the field less than 40% of the time. But on the flip side of it, for Los Angeles, Jared Goff at quarterback, Todd Gurley. That's the question I want to get to. It's Todd Gurley. We talked about it before. I've talked about it on other shows. I'm sure people have said it to you. If you could get to the playoffs with Todd Gurley, a lot of people who drafted him in the first round and didn't because of that, but a lot of people were able to overcome it and, you know, picked up a Spencer Ware or something like that along the line. But can Todd Gurley bring you a championship by playing Atlanta this week? I know he gets Seattle next week, but then the final championship game is San Francisco. He's got to be in your lineup both those games, right?
Yeah, I think he's in your lineup. I'm not going to expect – I think he'll have one huge game because it's like the time of year where he's going to have a huge game and then people are going to have optimism going into next year that it's going to be a new season and a new Todd Gurley. So he's definitely RB2 for me. So I'm getting him into my lineup, especially if I've been limping into the playoffs with him as it is. I think they're great matchups for him.
Yeah, I think so as well. So, and you're looking at the fact that it's the opportunity of the defense, really, is the Falcons' run defense just isn't stopping anybody. Actually, to double-check real quick, yep, they give up the most fantasy points per game over the last 4 weeks and the third most on the season, giving up. The funny thing is they've given up they've given up 5 receiving touchdowns, only 10 rushing, but combined it's the 15 touchdowns altogether. They've given up 779 receiving yards to running backs by far. The next closest is the Pittsburgh Steelers at 626. So
yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. You hope that Gurley stays involved.
Which
in the
they've been – exactly. They've started to do that. They just got to keep doing it. That's the problem.
Right.
Seattle at Green Bay, you know who to start in that game. We don't need to cover that. Dallas at New York, you know who to start in that game. Actually, the only ones I'm going to pull out of this one, let's just go back. Cole Beasley, underrated play this week, right?
I think he is, yeah. I definitely think he is, especially in a PPR format. He's wide receiver 3 in that range.
What about Sterling Shepard on the other side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is too. He's definitely kind of – you're hoping for a touchdown. Obviously, wasn't involved at all a couple weeks ago, a little bit more this past week, so that's okay. He scored a touchdown. But you're really hoping on a touchdown for his value.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem, and especially the Victor Cruz squeaky wheel.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you know, Victor Cruz has obviously become the third wide receiver on that team, but at the same time, this is what happens. It's seemingly, and it sounds cliche, but these teams do that. Look what happened last week with Brandon Cooks. They were finding ways, even in the second half. Michael Thomas, I don't know if you saw him in the game. Michael Thomas, I think, could have done jumping jacks in the middle of the field for the one play. It was so wide open. And Drew Brees went to Brandon Cooks. And it's just kind of what happens is I don't get why teams do it so easily, but it does happen. So final game of the week, Baltimore at New England on Monday night. The backfield that we talked about before with the Kenneth Dixon situation and Terrence West, the receivers. Dennis Pitta, if you're going to tight end, you're not picking him up, right? That was you missed out. That was your one game, and you missed out on it.
Yeah, I'm all set with Dennis Pitta.
Same thing with Joe Flacco. You're not picking up Joe Flacco and trying to start him, right?
No, I mean, I'm going to have to be in a deep league or you know, also start, also have on my roster like Blake Bortles. And then, yeah, I'll start Flacco, but otherwise I'm good.
Yeah, I think so as well. On New England's side of it, the Ravens have the toughest run defense in the league by far. Look, Garrett Blunt, James White, Deion Lewis, standard or PPR? Do you have a good feeling about starting any of them, or is it just you're reluctantly starting LeGarrette Blount just because you know the opportunity for a rushing touchdown?
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, Blount on a good matchup's an RB1. In this matchup, a very tough one, like you alluded to, still an RB2 because of the touchdown upside and because I still think they're going to try and run the ball if they can. And then Lewis and White, I was leaning more Lewis, and then it just seems like they would be awesome if it was one of them was there and one of them.
You could just combine them.
Exactly.
That would be a mini Voltron. Just put the two of them together and you can go for it.
Start wanting to get the stats from both of them. That would work.
That would be terrific. I love that. Can you do that in some leagues like those? I've actually played on one of those fantasy leagues where you get the backfield. So,
oh, interesting.
Or like, yeah, or the quarterback, just in case. The quarterback one was more for a two quarterback league, just in case you don't have to worry about losing somebody and then having nobody at the second position when you run into that injury situation. So you draft the team quarterback. So that I really enjoyed it. I've seen it before, but I would love to be able to do that with James White. And real quick before we get out of here, it's that Deion Lewis has looked better, but all 3 weeks his workload hasn't really increased. It's been almost steady. So there's no signs pointing to, hey, Deion Lewis is eventually going to take his role back.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's kind of settled into that. He's getting 8 to 10 touches, which there's nothing wrong with that, obviously, and that's the way they're going to use him for the rest of the year, and obviously keep him healthy because they're going to need him in the playoffs.
Yep, completely agree. That is it for us. Good luck. Hopefully you're still in the playoff hunts. Hopefully you're coming back again next week to get some more insight and information to keep you going. If not, you can use all this information. Bobby is up on another side of DenverBroncos.com as well. Some DFS help for you guys. You can tweet us at OnlyKid for myself, at Hello, I'm Bobby for Bobby, to get that as well. And we'll help you, keep playing. This season doesn't have to be over just because the seasonal is. So we will catch you next week. Good luck in week 14.